Okay, welcome to another edition of the evening devotional. I'm Pastor Justin Pierce, Grace Reformed Baptist Church, and I want to welcome you and to thank you so much for being here and for taking your time to be here. I want to appreciate your time and be very respectful of the fact that you have taken the time to come on here and with us tonight and just spend just a little bit of time in prayer and worship and in study of the Word of God. As I said, this is Pastor Justin Pierce, and we're here to exalt the Scripture, and we want to thank you for being here. We're in chapter 26, and today we're going to be talking about how we answer a fool in wisdom, and in, you know, talk about the righteous way, the wise way to answer a fool according to his folly, and how we do this in wisdom. You know, I'm not the first person that's pointed this out, that the Scripture is clear and talks about this. And so we want to take a moment, because we are in chapter 26 and we've been building up to this. And we want to talk about answering a fool and how we answer a fool according to wisdom, according to the Scripture. And so let's just take a moment and pray and let's get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you, and Lord, we ask you, God, to give us wisdom and strength and understanding. Lord, give us intelligence. And Lord, the Bible tells us that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ Jesus, that we are to study the Word of God so that we may know how to give a proper answer, how to give a right answer to those who chafe and who are argumentative and the scoffer and the ones that are in need of a rebuke from the Word of God and correction. And Lord, we ask you to give us that wisdom in Christ's name. Amen. So we are, you know, just looking at this passage, and let's go ahead and start reading. And we're in chapter 26. Hello, Wendy. Thank you for being on. I appreciate your time. Chapter 26, and in the Proverbs, like snow in summer and like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without a cause will not alight. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you'll be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly. I'm sorry, answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes, depending on your translation. He cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, who sends a messenger by the hand of a fool. Like the legs, which are useless to the lame, so is the proverb in the mouth of a fool. You're starting to get the message, right? It's coming. It really has a lot to say about the fool here. Like the one who binds a stone in a sling, so is the one who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn which falls into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. It goes on, like an archer who wounds everyone, so is he who hires a fool and who hires those who pass by. Let's go on and says, like a dog that returns to its vomit, so is a fool who repeats his folly. Do you see a wise man in his own eyes? There is more hope for them than for a fool. Let's go on. The sluggard says, there is a lion without, and there's a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square. As the door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard in his bed. The sluggard buries his head in the dishes, in the dish, and is wary of bringing his mouth up again. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. Like one who takes a dog by the ear is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. Verse 18, like a madman who throws firebrands and arrows of death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. For lack of wood, a fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, no gossip, contention quiets down. Like coals of hot ember and wood to fire, so is a contentious man and to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like the dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost part of the body. like a vet, like an earthen vessel laden with silver and dross, laden overlaid with silver and dross, are burning lips and a wicked heart. He who hates disguises its lips. He who hates disguises it with lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will come back. It will come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and flattering mouth works ruin. And that was the end of it. And I'm sorry for stammering all over the place. Please forgive me for that. Just been a long day and a lot of reading to do today. If you think about this, we're going to really focus in on this issue of the fool. And it's talking about, I'll just read this from John MacArthur. In John MacArthur's study notes on this, he speaks of this as the fool is described in every verse, verses 1 through 12. Most verses compare aspects of natural order that are violated with the behavior of a fool. And you think about this, there is understanding and there's wisdom and there's reason and there's sound logic and there's knowledge that comes in the world from God down to mankind, and the fool refuses to hear it. They refuse to listen to truth. They listen to the worldly ideas and the worldly wisdom and the way that worldly people think that they should go, but they refuse to listen to God. He goes on and says, the deteriorating nature of foolishness is seen as the description progresses from drink to vomit, and it goes farther on than that. These damaging incongruities of nature illustrate those in the moral realm. It talks about the idea that you can speak to someone with logic and reason and understanding and share to them how it is that they know God already exists, and we have that authority from the Word of God. And now, one thing you want to make sure of is that when you are answering a fool, you don't lay down the one weapon that is your authority. It's the Word of God itself. You know, we don't just lay aside the Scripture. We don't claim that there is a higher authority than the Word of God. You know, I mean, if you think about it, in just a second, we're going to look into Romans and just for a minute, and think about the natural order that comes out of Romans. It says that even in the world, in the natural order, there is enough evidence to know God exists and that we are guilty before Him. But the Scripture is what shows us that truth. The Scripture is what tells us that, and the Scripture is what verifies that while there's enough evidence to condemn every person, because we look at the natural order that God has created and we know intrinsically in our conscience, in the conscience that God gave us, in our hearts, in wisdom and logic and reason and knowledge, we know God exists, and yet we shun God, we hate God, we refuse to have Him as our Lord and our Savior, we refuse to submit to Him, and we suppress the truth about God in unrighteousness. We make up a false God or an idol. We make up a deity that is less than God. We want someone else to be our God. Even nature itself, you know, in Romans, we see that. And so we have to learn how to answer the fool in righteousness and wisdom. And listen to what it says. Like the snow in summer and like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Number one, when we sit there and we try to give honor in elevating the standards and the wisdom of a fool, Richard Dawkins, for example, you know, you have all these different people that claim to be intellectual elite. You know, they claim that they have wisdom and knowledge. No, they don't. They have supposition. They suppose that there is no God. Because they know God and they refuse to acknowledge Him, they refuse to accept Him as His as the divine standard bearer. They refuse to accept him as God. You know, and we find that out from Scripture. We don't see that from just moral authority. We don't just see that from our own whims and fancies. Every single one of us were enemies of God until God revealed himself to us as the Savior and the Judge, right? We all come to understand that we need Christ to be our Savior because Christ has been designated to be our Judge as well, right? Okay, so we go on and look that it's not fitting for us to honor a fool, honor someone who hates God, turns their back against God. We shouldn't listen to them and give them credence when they say that, you know, that God is a monster, that he's, you know, a wicked, vile monster. We say, by what standard? By what standard are you even speaking of the God that I love and adore, the God that saved my soul? You know, when they start talking about reason and logic, I actually had somebody just the other day say, you know, how would you answer somebody that said that your God is a tyrant? And I said, the question I would ask, and the first question I was asked is, how do you define a tyrant without God as the standard? How do you define what's right and wrong and moral without God? Because if there is no God, there is no standard of morality. There is no standard of truth. There is no standard. It's all subjective reality. There is no definitive truth. You know, the atheist and the evolutionary idea of survival of the fittest comes along and it says, the one that is the most powerful, whatever it is, be it COVID virus or human being, the one that is most powerful is the dominant. Okay. And it's right. And so whatever it or they say is the right thing is the right thing. The weaker have no voice. They have no control. They should have no reason to argue against the created order. There should never be anything wrong. You know, I've said it this way before. It, without Christ, you think about this, without Christ, without God as our moral backbone and our standard for righteousness, why shouldn't I, as an atheist, as an agnostic, as you know, a journalist or anybody in the media, why should I not seek to propagate my own family and therefore go out and knock as many women over the head as I want to and take them back to my place and force them to become, you know, my brides and have millions of brides and go out and find the people with the most money and the most power and the most wealth and the most of all the luxuries and do the thing that Kim Jong-il and Ung and all those guys did. Why shouldn't I do that? If there is no standard of right and wrong, if there is no standard of goodness, if there is no God, as the fool says, then everything is permissible. Then everything is right. There is no wrong. Okay? Just because you don't like it, tough. Too bad. It doesn't matter if you like it. Okay? If I'm stronger than you are and I'm capable of taking your possessions, your lands, your children and making them my slaves and making myself comfortable and making my family line elevate them. If that's the right way to go, according to the world system, the anti-God system, if that's the right way to go, then we should go for all the gusto there is. If this is all there is, eat and drink for tomorrow we die. If this is the end of it, then there is no standard of right and wrong. Now listen, that's just verse one. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without a cause does not alight. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of the fools. Those ones that hate God and they turn their back on God and they say we can do anything we want to because there is nothing after this. The result is what you have today. You know, anarchy, wickedness, vileness. People have their own moral opinions and their own moral authorities and their own moral righteousnesses. And they say, we are the majority. We are the mob rule. And because we have the authority, I mean, I watched an atheistic professor one time on video walk up to a group of people that he disagreed with. And because there was no absolute standard of right and wrong, he took a lock, combination lock, and put it in his sock and went up and started beating this guy over the head with it. Bloody. I mean, this, it was bloody mess everywhere. And nothing happened to him. He didn't go to jail. You know, he was at one of these, the liberal colleges, and it was okay for him to just beat this guy's, you know, brains out. But you see, that's the standard. That's their standard. If there is no God, then there is no wrong. There is nothing that's wrong in the world. And we have seen that take its place in our society, in the more liberal and leftist cultures. But the Bible makes it clear to us that that is the wickedness of mankind. That is the folly of mankind. And we don't sit there and tolerate it. We don't quietly sit by and watch it take place. We expose it. Verse 4 says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or else you will be like him. We don't sit there and enjoin with the fool, the scoffer, the one that hates God, and we don't sit there and say, you know what? You've got a good point. He says, hey, you know, let's come and argue from, you know, scientific logic and put that Bible down and let's argue from that position. As Ken Ham says, when you start doing that, as soon as you do that, you lose the entire argument because you've laid down the authority of Word of God. Think about it. Where does your authority of truth lie? Does it lie in scientific wisdom and knowledge? Everything that was wisdom and knowledge 100 or 200 or 300 years ago, everything that has been proven scientifically has been updated and changed and drastically shifted between then and today. There is more and more and more understanding. And the things that Darwin thought he knew about the simplest cell, the things that he thought he knew, we now know he did not understand that simple cell was so complex that without the most base component parts, that one simple cell cannot live. He didn't know that. He didn't understand that. He didn't have that wisdom. There is no scientific proof and evidence that is always factual apart from God. Sorry, that dropped. There isn't one, not apart from the standard of Almighty God. When we see it in Scripture, it always holds true. When we see it in man's opinions and his whims and his fancies, it always has to be modified and adjusted and corrected. It always does. We do not answer a fool by standing with him and acting just like him by reasoning from his standpoint. We answer a fool. We don't answer a fool that way. Verse 5 says, answer a fool as his folly deserves, you know, according to his folly, as it deserves, that he does not be wise in his own eyes. When the person comes along and they said that they give you a moral standard, an absolute, something is never right, something is always right. There are no absolutes. Okay, is that absolutely true? You know, there is no absolute standard of right and wrong. Are you absolutely sure about that statement? Okay, we do not answer them according to their own wisdom, because their wisdom is foolishness. He goes on and says in verse 6, he cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, who sends messengers by the hand of a fool. And you think about this, it's the progressing idea here, not that we're progressive, but it's the progressing idea, the more and more layers upon layers of truth that foolish people in foolish wisdom will do destructively, and you cannot trust them. You cannot trust them. I mean, you think about this. When an atheistic or an evolutionary sciences professor steps up there in front of Ken Ham, you know, and you have the Bill Nye, who's not a science guy, but who pretends to be one, when he comes up and he tries to give reason and logic and understanding, he falls flat on his face. And his friends will listen to him and they'll just laud him and they'll give him elevation and standing. But you know, and I know, when you listen to his teaching, listen to his words, they're coming from foolishness. They're coming from a hatred of God and a supposition that God cannot be right. He cannot be the standard. Like the legs of, verse 7, like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Wisdom and understanding have no place in the mind of a fool. A person that hates God and turns their back on God, it will not do them any good, and they cannot understand it. Because they've chosen to stand against Almighty God, against His truth, and look for a standard of righteousness, a standard of truth, an axiomatic standard outside of Scripture. They've chosen to look to the man's reason. And I want to take a minute and just go to Romans 1:18. Now listen to this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. God's wrath is poured out and is revealed throughout the world in so many different ways. It's poured out and seen by the Holy Spirit pulling back and allowing the wickedness of the world to do as much wickedness as they can. You know, it's seen by the wickedness of mankind that suppresses the truth and unrighteousness and wants to claim its own way, its own standard. And you think about this. Verse 19. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. In other words, the entire created order shows and displays God. I had a atheist professor down at ETSU one time start arguing with me, and she was telling me, you can't prove the existence of God. And so we started talking about, you know, what it is that she is standing against. And she was talking about the fact that she can't account for creation. She can't account for the created order, for everything being the way it is. And I said, listen to me, you were a minute ago, you were claiming that God is evil and He's wicked. But how can you define evil and wicked without God? How can you define any moral standard and say what is right and wrong without God? You are borrowing from Christianity to complain about Christianity. And then what I said to her was, I said, listen, according to the Scripture, we find out that the attributes of God are that He is holy and good and just and kind, and His creation is made in such a way that all of us are benefited. None of us are harmed by God's creation. It's, you know, now there's, you know, animals and things like that and sicknesses and everything else that come along because of the curse of sin. But God's created order is good and it's holy, as we see in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, that God made everything good. He made it right and upright. He made it holy. He made it good to conform to what we needed in this world. And I said to her, the God that I'm talking about, the God that Scripture reveals, is loving and kind and gentle and gracious. And all the other gods that are made up in the world, they fail in every way. She looks at me and she says, you know, I can see that and I can understand that. But if God does exist, then she must be. And then I remember she went on saying something else. And I stopped her. I said, see, you've suppressed the truth in so much unrighteousness that you can't even allow for God to exist the way His attributes reveal Himself to be in the Scripture. Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth about God, who suppress God's wisdom, His knowledge, His truth, and unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. They know God exists. Their conscience bears witness against them. Listen to this. For verse 20, for since through creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, divine nature are clearly seen through that which has been made, so they are without excuse. They don't have an excuse. They don't have a reason to shake their fist at God. They know God exists and they hate Him for it. They hate His created order. They hate that He is the sovereign God of the universe, that He is the King, that He is the one who is exalted in power and majesty, that He is the moral standard of all mankind. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God. That's the first thing they did. Knowing God, they refused to honor Him, nor did they give Him thanks. But they became futile in their imaginations, their speculations, and because of this, their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. Think about that. And birds and four-footed animals and crawling things. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. They start worshiping nature and everything else. It doesn't matter what it is. The Jews worshiped the golden calf, and they called it God. They called it their God. At one point in time, they worshiped the golden calf. Atheists and evolutionists, they worship the omnipotent planets and the Big Bang and the cosmic accidents. And they worship that, and they say, God can't possibly have created everything, but give us millions of years and just enough time, space, and chance, and give us nothing plus time, times chance, and you'll have everything. Give us that much time. And, you hear Dawkins and hear so many people say that, no, nothing cannot create everything, but if you give us billions of years, it will. It can't do it, but if you give us extra time, it'll happen. And they suppress the truth about God in unrighteousness. And then this passage goes on in Romans 1, and it continues to show the progression of wickedness and depravity as God lends them over and gives them over to their own wickedness because they hate God and they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, going back to our passage in Proverbs 26, it says this in verse 10, like an archer who wounds everyone, so is he who hires a fool or who hires those who pass by. You think about this. These are the people that openly just allow people with their own vain speculations. They hate God. They refuse to listen to him, and they come up with their own standards of morality, and they justify everything. They justify everything. They have moral standing, and yet they want to be pastors and teachers and doctors and lawyers and everything else. And yet their moral standard is humanity. It's humanism. It's supposition. Now think about the outcome of this. It's not that bad of a deal. I'm going to give you a better example. I actually watched a video where a man professed to be a pastor that began to cuss out and cuss at a group of Christians that were standing at an abortion clinic calling for people not to murder their children. He was cussing at them. He said he was a local pastor. He said, this is just the way the world is. You shouldn't be out here. You need to go get a job. And he said, they said, well, you want some material? And they said, you can shove it where the sun don't shine. And he was cussing at them and everything else. And here it is. You think about this. Gets a job as a pastor who is a rebel against Almighty God, and he's okay with the murder of babies. He hates the wickedness in his mind of the witness of Christians. He hates the gospel being proclaimed, the call to holiness, the rescue the perishing. He hates that concept. And we allow them to come in to, they're already in the society, and we bring them into Christianity, and they've already turned their back on God, and yet we give them a position and a place so that they can stand up and give an answer when they shouldn't be allowed to have that response. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool that repeats his folly over and over and over again, just like a dog licking up vomit. They repeat their wickedness. It's that disgusting. And the sight of Almighty God is that disgusting. You see a man who is wise in his own eyes? Well, there's more hope for a fool than for him. A person who thinks they do not need wisdom, they do not need instruction. They will sit and listen to the proclamation of truth, and then they'll say, I didn't need that. That's stupid. Well, there's more hope for a fool. A fool at least has an opportunity to come around to understand wisdom. This one has heard wisdom, and they refuse to hear it. Verse 17 says, like one who takes a dog by the ear is he who passes and intermeddles with strife not belonging to him. A fool can't help it. They absolutely cannot help it. They'll grab a hold of anything and go to war in any situation. And we need to be Facebook wisdom here We need to be wisdom in social media and not be those people that grab a hold of stuff that, you know, sin that doesn't belong to us, arguments that don't belong to us, and not even be a part of it. Share the gospel when you can, but know how to answer a fool. Know how to answer them in wisdom. I think one of the best books, one of the best books that I've seen on presuppositional apologetics is Jason Lyle. And it's, what is that book called? Jason Lyle has a book, Ultimate Apologetics, I believe it's called. And Nuclear Strength Apologetics is on YouTube. And, you know, Jason Lyle's got a bunch of videos on there. And he's got this great study. We've gone through it about, you know, how to answer people in wisdom and understanding and how to give a solid biblical wisdom and a biblical answer. And I pray that you'll take the time, go out there and find that. It's on Amazon. It's on his website. He's got it in a lot of different places on Facebook and whatnot that you can get that video. It's on Kindle, or the videos. It's on Kindle, and you can study through that on how to answer a fool and be prepared to give a sound reason, as the scripture says. You know, as Christians, we don't have to be unprepared. We don't have to be weak in our biblical profession, our confession of faith. We don't have to be weak. We can be strong and come from a position of strength as we stand on the word of God and refuse to lay it down. You know, the scripture tells us that the word is the sword. It's able to cut down to the marrow, discerning even all the way down to the spirits, discerning, you know, the truth from error. It's able to light our path. It's able to give us wisdom and guidance. And if we will just hold on to it and stand strong in the word of God, we will be able to withstand, you know, all the fiery darts of Satan and be able to give a sound reason and a hope that lies within us. So we're going to go ahead and stop right there. There's more stuff in here, but I want to say that the most salient parts of this passage to me at this moment is dealing with answering in wisdom and dealing with answering foolishness from the world and the world's wisdom. If you've noticed in this COVID crisis, you've had all kinds of intellectuals giving their wisdom and telling us how everything's got to be and how they know best and all of this. And it's been proven over and over and over again that they don't even know which way's up. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. In most cases, they're just guessing through and they're telling you to submit to them based on their not even best guesses, their assumptions. Okay, they assume they know what's right. We know the answer. Okay, you might get this, you know, Ultimate Proof of Creation by Jason Lyle. Thank you. I'm going to post that up here real quick. We assume, you know, the world assumes they know they have wisdom and knowledge, and yet we have the one that has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and he disseminates it to us, you know. We have the privilege, you know. What is it? Second Peter. We are given wisdom, and we are given understanding, so that we can not, you know, so we can be strong and not unstable, so that we can be those that have knowledge and wisdom from the Lord. Anyway, I just want to take that moment and thank you guys for watching this, so that we will not be, you know, unstable, so that we will be smart. And as the scripture says, 2 Peter 3:15-16, in regard to patience of the Lord, our Savior, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote in letters, as also he in all his letters, speaking in them these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of Scripture, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you be not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And you think that blessing for us is we can study to show ourselves approved. We can study the Word of God. We can stand as biblical Christians and stand fast in our faith. Okay. I want to thank you for being here and just pray that God blesses you. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, be sure to check us out. We've left a bunch of information where you can find us. We're here every Sunday. We're here every evening. We're here every time we get a chance to be together. We try not to forsake the fellowship. And during this time, we're trying to use this media to open the doors of wisdom and knowledge and speak about the Word of God to the glory of God. So thank you very much, and God bless, and have a good evening.